Okay, well, I preached so much during the preliminaries, I left so much time, but that's all right. We got other things coming up the next few weeks too, so we'll be back and forth to Galatians and looking at them as the Lord gives us opportunity. The great message of Galatians of the Bible is really that, you know, it's finished. You can't add anything. And those who would tell you so, Paul said, let them be accursed. He didn't pull any punches. And he addressed those who were spreading falsities. And encouraged the saints in Galatia that it was finished. Christ had accomplished their salvation. They were free in Christ. They had liberty in Christ. But that didn't mean liberty to live as you want, and liberty to live a life of licentiousness, but it's liberty to serve Christ and to live as we ought and in accordance with his revealed will. We've been in chapter 5 for a while. Chapter 5 in verse 1 where Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In verse 13 he says, brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, there's nothing they did to make that happen. There's nothing they do to preserve that. But those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, there's things manifested in their lives. And again, there is the struggle and the fight and the seeking into continuance, as Paul in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the battle goes on. The flesh, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're made known, they're shown. And they're things that ought not be shown, ought not be present, and habitually at least in a Christian's life. And they ought not be present at all. Which things, and we saw as Paul addressed, physical and sexual sins, which are really sins against the image of God and God's intended purpose in marriage and the picture of Christ and his church, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, we spent some time on, and as Paul here begins in verse 20, addressing the matters of false worship and of failing to acknowledge God. And then we got started on witchcraft. And we'll look at that today. Won't finish it, but as I've mentioned, that this word that's translated witchcraft here is often in the scriptures translated sorcery, and the underlying word there is pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy, the dangers of getting into mind-altering drugs, and it opens one up to the demonic world, to the magical occult world, and the illicit human trafficking in drugs, and in our day and age, the illicit human trafficking in drugs to some extent from an often perverted medical society. And it touches on many things, and I'm going to look at some of these in more detail as we go on, but I think I already mentioned some. Folks, occult, the word means secret or hidden. All these hidden secret societies like masonry. I finally got started cleaning out my garage enough I can get to my books back there, when I had a lot of the Masonic books and the occult books and so forth, which I don't recommend to anybody. But you understand where these folks are coming from and the false doctrines that they profess and claim. And a lot of them are by folks who were former Masons and former witches and who the Lord saved out of this garbage. But it's a danger that we need to guard against, and it's growing in our day and age. And as I mentioned before, the whole idea of piercings and tattooing and all this stuff, this was not a part of the worship of the people of God. This was a part of the worship of the pagans and of witchcraft and sorcery. And today we see it promoted in groups like the BLM and Antifa. One of the founders of BLM had admitted to seeking working into contacting the dead and communicating with the dead, and claimed to have getting sources and powers from these sort of things. One sample of that, the Antifa and the BLM, available on Amazon, Revolutionary Witchcraft, A Guide to Magical Activism. Magical activism, that's what they... It was interesting today as well. I saw an ad did pop up on my Amazon or on my Facebook about getting to some kind of magic game and mystical things, and there were dragons and all this other stuff. That's okay. But Free Florida First, proclaiming the truth, that's not according to community standards. Anyway, this book, Revolutionary Witchcraft, says, a fiery intersectional guide for activists and witches alike. Revolutionary Witchcraft is an empowered introduction to the history practice of politically motivated magic. You know, you see, recently these witches that were plotting and casting spells supposedly on Donald Trump, they did it when he had COVID. They did it, you know, in relation to the elections. They did it, and particularly, I guess, the month was I think October. They had two full moons. It gave them extra magical powers to cast these spells. And they joined forces to create, quote, a blue wave spell on October 31st and November 2nd. There's a Facebook group, which is okay for them. There's a Facebook group called Bind Trump that has over 6,100 members, casting these magical, mystical witchcraft spells. One of the things they say there is, let's work our magic hard, whatever that means. I saw another note in that same context at the end of October, where a satanic protester dumped blood over a Christian preacher that was in Washington for a prayer event. And it wasn't the first time he'd been attacked by such folks. It says, we had an entire satanic cult march through the worshipers the entire time yelling, Hail Satan! These are the folks that we deal with. This is what they're opened up to. These are the folks that are out there on the street. Don't fool yourself. These aren't folks that, you know, are offended by some little thing, or they're, you know, advancing the cause of some persecuted minority. These folks are activists, and in many cases, Satanists, whether knowingly or not. Again, back to this book that was on that tied together the magic. And activism, witchcraft, revolutionary witchcraft. Author, activist, practicing witch, Sarah Lyons, takes readers on a journey through a leftist history of magic. Listen to that, a leftist history of magic. This stuff is leftist. This stuff is, quote, progressive. Pairing mystical arts, including seagull magic and soul flight, with core organizing tactics, like power mapping and protests. Revolutionary witchcraft offers a blueprint for building a politically grounded magical praxis. From social justice to environmental activism, this worship of the earth is the worship of Mother Gaia. It's all demonic. It's all satanic. From social justice to environmental activism, this radical reimagining of political activism addresses today's most pressing problems with empowering exclusive, inclusive rituals and magical actions. Goes on, says it's full of actionable ideas for magical organizing. An appendix packed with customizable spells. Revolutionary witchcraft is the perfect companion for magical uprisings. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. One of the protest rallies in recent months, one of the protesters ate a bloody heart to protest Trump. I guess it wasn't a human heart as far as I know, but they did that. Antifa witches hexing Trump and Kavanaugh and others. And again, BLM admits, so the leaders admit to being Marxist, which is satanic. They admit to practicing witchcraft and conjuring and summoning of dead spirits. Black conservative Abraham Hamilton said this. He said, BLM is a religious movement. One of their leaders said, we're not just having a social justice movement. This is a spiritual movement. Another of the BLM leaders said, we've become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly. Each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Wakeisha. And Wakeisha was a Wakeisha Wilson, African-American woman who was found dead in the Los Angeles jail back in 2016. But she communicates and laughs with Wakeisha. This is demonic. This is out of the pits of hell. This black conservative Hamilton, he goes on to argue, says the conversation proved that Black Lives Matter's leaders were, quote, summoning the spirits of the dead and using the power of the spirits of the dead in order to give them the ability to do what they're calling what they're calling the so-called justice work. This is a part of the religion that I don't know a whole lot of. Yoruba religion of Ifa. They're summoning dead spirits. And it's the touchstone of the religious worship of ancestors. And the Bible calls all of this witchcraft, calls all of this sorcery. Antifa witches casting spells to destroy political opponents. And this is not the exclusive territory of what we would normally identify as the left, though they might all properly perhaps be placed there. Nancy Reagan practiced astrology, swore by it. Mary Todd Lincoln, the wife of Abraham Lincoln, had seances in the White House attempting to contact her dead son, Willie. And from what I've been able to ascertain on at least one occasion, Abraham was there too. Hillary Clinton claimed to have spoken with Eleanor Roosevelt and Gandhi. And you can go back, and I'm not going to detail all the situations, but Jane Pierce, wife of President Pierce, again, Mary Todd Lincoln, Edith Wilson, Florence Harding, Nancy Reagan, Grace Coolidge, Eleanor Roosevelt, Lady Bird Johnson, Jackie Kennedy. These folks all practiced the occult in the White House. Now you say, well, you know, maybe they're just playing around, or it's fun, or it's just not. I want to tell you something. There's basically three possibilities every time you look at these things. These folks are just out and out lying and deceiving. You know, they're pretending, they're acting like this stuff, and they're using it for their purposes, and they're liars and deceivers. Or, number two, they're actually self-deceived. And they've convinced themselves of these things. Or number three, which is a very real possibility, it is the activity of the demonic world. When you open yourself to this, you open yourself to all sorts of those things. Brother, we need to exercise care in those areas, and it can come in through, you know, any number of portals. You know, young kids get together and play seances, or they play with those Ouija boards. And you say, well, it's just a toy. It was not originally just a toy, and who was it? Milton, whoever came out with it and put it on the market. And these things are dangerous openings to the, and rock music. I say tattoos and these things that are preparing folks to receive the mark of the beast, and most folks think nothing about getting a needle now. Well, I'm going to spend at least one more week on this. I found a whole sermon. I just wanted to go through and highlight some of the things in there as well. Because it's important that we be aware of these things. But we do know this, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. I'm not afraid of Satan. But we should realize that he's a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. We have to trust in God. We have to put our confidence in him. We have to stand in him, because you won't last against Satan on your own, not even a second. He's a great and powerful being. But he's not an omnipotent being. And he's not a sovereign being. And he's not an omniscient being. And so we should be aware of these things, and we should be aware of what's transpiring in the world about us, and we should guard ourselves and our children against these things. And probably, I don't even hardly even turn on the television anymore. When my girls were growing up, we didn't even have one in the house. But that just opens, not that, you know, electronics aren't in and of themselves evil, but the folks that are controlling the airwaves and what's behind it, who's the prince of the power of the air anyway? We talk about the airwaves, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Satan. Well, next week we're going to look a little bit, continuing at the Christian and the occult. And again, the occult, witchcraft, pharmakia, drugs, and again, these secret societies, masonry, and these other things. And I've seen it. It's odd, and I'll have a couple comments, and then we'll wrap it up for this week. But Baptists, many Baptists through the years were associated with masonry. And these, when I was, admittedly, when I started getting back into church in the Marine Corps, it was a Southern Baptist church, but I was highly encouraged to get into masonry. My dad had always encouraged me to get into masonry. The pastor and the deacon, they were all Masons. And I'd been a juvenile Mason. I'd been a DMLA as a kid. And finally, my dad was, it helps your career and everything. You know? And so I did my paperwork in the lodge there in Jacksonville, where I was in North Carolina, was going to do my work for me to become, you know, third degree Mason. And then I began to study some things, and then the Lord began to put some things in my hands, and I looked and studied and read and confronted the pastor about it. He couldn't answer me. He didn't have any answers to the things. It was like, well, it would break my dad's heart if I got out of Masons. Well, It'd break my dad's heart if I stopped practicing the occult, witchcraft, and these other things. And sad. So, you know, there were a lot of folks, Baptist preachers, involved in this in the past. That doesn't make it right. They were deceived. And we need to, and I loved my dad, and I loved my granddad. And when I went down there and we started that work in Homestead, we wouldn't receive them into the church until they broke all contacts and left the Masonic Lodge, which they both did. They wrote letters of resignation. And I loved them and wanted to see them out of that mess. I didn't love them and would get in the middle of that mess myself. What's wrong with the way people think? I can't comprehend that. Anyway, we'll look through that next week, and then the week after, it'll be the week after Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll have a special message then. I don't know. We'll see how the Lord leads and where we go. And I know we're crazy busy. I had no idea. Thanksgiving's just right here. We always have a big thing here. And Heidi's informed us we're going to have it out in the middle of the yard again. So that adds some more interest. And she's a party planner for the family. So there you go. We'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll sing a closing hymn, number 185, Depths of Mercy Can There Be, 185. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out this morning. Depths of Mercy Can There Be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day which we can gather together as your people. The day on which our Savior rose gloriously, victoriously from the grave. Lord, we thank you for what was accomplished on our behalf that we certainly could never accomplish on our own. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Spirit. Lord, for that everlasting covenant, what you chose of people in Christ. Father, we can't comprehend all that love. And Lord, we know we live in the midst of a wicked and untoward generation. We live in a time when evil is on the ascendancy. And yet, Father, we know that you're in control, that you're working your perfect will. And we pray, Lord, you might be pleased to keep us faithful, to keep us true, to keep us strong, that we might resist Satan and all his evil works, that you might be glorified in your people. Lord, thank you for this little fellowship for bringing us together. Lord, as we're reminded, as we talk to folks that can't find a place to attend church, that we have an oasis here that you've provided, not this preacher. Lord, that you've taught us, not some man. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for our Savior. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.